Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Entertainment. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Welcome to another edition of Vamp Radio, another MMA podcast. We call this one Proteus' Prime Time Show. My name is Proteus. I'll be your host for the evening. And unfortunately, we're not joined by both of our guests just at the moment, but we you know what? We'll get through. Tonight, I'm going to be lucky enough to be joined by our boy, at DannyAustin_9. Follow him on Twitter, at DannyAustin_9. And, of course, as I mentioned on last night's show, Danny, you are going to disappear, like Ari Shaffir disappeared, but you're going to disappear into an African jungle pretty soon. So I said to the people last night, the audience last night, I said, we got to have Danny Austin on before he disappears into the jungle. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah, I am about 5 days away now. I'm going to be hopping on a plane. I have a sister who lives in Swaziland, so I'm going to be flying into Johannesburg and spending a little over 3 weeks kind of with my phone off and no Twitter and no Instagram or Facebook, kind of exploring Southern Africa, and I cannot wait. So,
yeah, good. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be very exciting for you, and hopefully you don't get lost and you come back and we can get you back on the show again, because we would miss you if you were gone.
Well, I am scheduled to cover UFC 211, so okay. I don't want to miss that card. So hopefully I'm not going to die, and that's that. But I am lucky. I'm unfortunately I'll be with my sister for a good chunk of it, and she's a little bit more street smart, or at least African street smart than I am. So I'm definitely excited about it. Yeah.
And let's just explain to the audience that you are in fact consuming some frosty beverages right now because you're at a party for one of your coworkers, and you're taking the time to step outside and give us some time. And that's very nice of you. That's very big of you, and I appreciate that.
Well, you know that I always enjoy doing this. It's one of my favorite perks of the job. So, the going away party can wait. That's for sure.
Cool. Okay. And of course, because it's 3 hours behind, it's only 6 o'clock where you are, right? Or are you only
7 o'clock,
2 hours behind?
It's 2 hours. 2 hours. It's 7
right?
o'clock.
Right. So. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And see, 7 o'clock right in there? Alberta means, in April in Alberta, 7 o'clock means that, like, it's literally sunny skies where this might as well be 1 o'clock for most people. So.
Hey, so listen, I saw that that you were out on the slopes the other day getting some fresh pow-pow. How was that?
Oh, man, it was sick. I'm a pretty big skier. It's one of if you're going to survive the Western Canadian winter, you kind of have to get out there and get active. And my older sister is a doctor, and her husband came in, and we had some passes at Lake Louise and did 2 days at probably the most beautiful place in the world, if you ask me. So, I'm kind of this is not a work-intensive April for me. It's I'm enjoying life. I'm living the good life right now. So it was amazing, though. And if you happen to be a skier and have a little bit of extra money, I will say that conditions in Western Canada right now are through the roof. It's unbelievable. So.
Excellent. That's good to hear. And just so everybody knows, we are going to be joined by our man on the streets, hashtag our man on the streets, at Lynch on Sports. Of course, you all know him as James Lynch, but We like to follow him on Twitter, at Lynch on Sports. You know, he's hobnobbing and rubbing and elbows with Joey Coco Diaz in elevators. So, you know, Danny, we can't compete with that, can we?
Nah, man. I mean, if you're going to live the high and glamorous life in Buffalo, New York, it sounds like James Lynch is the one that you want to follow around.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
This was one of the events, if I may just quickly add, that, like, I kind of wrote the editor, my editor, and he was like, how badly do you want to go to Buffalo? And I was like, I don't want to go to Buffalo, man.
So you wanted to come to Buffalo. Come on.
I don't get me wrong, I would never turn down an event, but when I was kind of told to pick and choose, God bless the good people of Buffalo, but they don't need to see me, and I don't need to
absolutely.
See them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go
absolutely.
Skiing at Lake Louise. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's bring him in right now. Our man on the streets. He's been hobnobbing with the big boys in elevators, you know, Joey Coco Diaz, Khabib, and, you know, all them motherfuckers. What's up, James Lynch? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good. We're just, talking about Danny going skiing the other day, getting some fresh pow-pow out there in Alberta and enjoying life. And how's life going for you over there? Are you getting any snow?
No snow, just lots of rain, actually. It looks more like Vancouver here than it does Buffalo. So, I grew up in Vancouver, so this is nothing for me. So.
Yeah, that's a significant
exactly.
upgrade.
Yeah.
That's Danny's second dig on Buffalo, New York. I apologize to anybody who's from Buffalo, New York. Okay, look, guys, let's get into it because I'm really excited, and Danny wants to get back to his work party because, you know, Frosty Beverages, hashtag Frosty Beverages.
That's what I do.
But that's what's up. That's what's up. And, of course, James wants to get back to talking to Joey Coco Diaz because there's nothing better than that. But before we get going, James, you have been a busy boy. I have been watching all of your interviews, and they have been going over well. So let's break it down. The past 2 days, you had the early media day on Wednesday, and of course today we had open workouts. So why don't we start yesterday, because you know there was a big concern about weight cutting, and Daniel Cormier and both the guys in the main event, Daniel Cormier and Rumble Johnson. People were saying, you know what, I don't know about these guys. They look like they might be having a tough weight cut. So let's start there. Let's start on Wednesday, James. Why don't you go ahead and bring us through it?
Yeah, so, just visibly looking at Daniel Cormier and at Anthony Rumble Johnson, I mean, they both look like they had tough cuts. Now, I should mention it was cold in the media room yesterday. So, you know, the fact that they were both wearing hoodies and, you know, trying to keep warm, I guess it's understandable. But I threw a tweet out there yesterday. My honest opinion was they, you know, looked like they were having a tough cut. And I get all these people replying to me being like, oh, Rumble's going to miss weight and all this stuff. And it's like, no. I'm telling you at this very moment, my eye test tells me one thing. And you know, that's that. And of course, you know, we find out today that, you know, they're both only 10 pounds over. That's not a huge amount to cut as far as, you know, getting down to 205. So, you know, that was sort of the topic of discussion yesterday. But, man, I could not, and Danny knows this too, I mean, I could not get a word in with Cormier or Rumble yesterday because there was so much media piling around these guys trying to get in. And I was worried if I waited in line, then I'm not going to get to interview anyone else. So it was a bit of a gong show, especially the local media, because these guys are just like asking the most dumb, basic questions you can imagine. Just like, so what is it? How does it feel to be here on Fight Week? It's like, well, you know, like those types of questions. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's why they're there. They have to answer the, you know, local news and everything. But it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, we appreciated all of your, well, I did at least. I can't speak for the audience that's listening, but I appreciated all of your interviews that came out. You did a great job. And even though you didn't get DC and you didn't get Rumble, it didn't matter. I mean, it's good to see who else is on the card, right? On yesterday's show on Smack My Picks Up, we talked a bunch about, you know, all the other fights on the main card and a little bit of the prelims. So it's good to get those guys that are not in the main event or in the co-main event a little bit of shine. And of course, you did get Musasi, and he was you know, in fine form. And I thought all your interviews yesterday were good. So, but let's fast forward to today, because I have not been able to catch up on any of the interviews or the media that you've put out. So what happened today?
So today was the open workouts. And, you know, I did mention I didn't get Rumble and Cormier yesterday, but I did get them today. The difference between today and yesterday,
awesome,
aside from the fact that there was open workouts, is that, you know, these are they're media scrums. So they're not one-on-ones. It's just a bunch of media gathered around and people just ask questions at random. But honestly, there was not that many people asking questions. So I got a lot of my questions answered today, which was great. So I got stuff with all four of the open workout fighters. So, you know, Daniel Cormier, Anthony Rumble Johnson, Gegard Mousasi, and of course, Chris Weidman. And on top of that, because, you know, for me, I don't need to grab the whole media scrum. So as soon as I ask my questions, I'm done with my interview. I went and grabbed their coaches too. So I got Ray Longo today for Chris Weidman. I got Henry Hoof today talking about Anthony Rumble Johnson. And of course, I've got Javier Mendez talking about Daniel Cormier. So that was nice too. So I kind of took advantage of, you know, seeing those coaches just hanging around and got quick interviews with them. So all in all, a very successful day for myself.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was very impressed that you had been moving around and getting everything that you needed, getting those sound bites, getting those video clips. Very impressive. Danny, let's bring you into the conversation here, because we don't want you just sitting on the outside. You got any questions for James? He's our man on the streets. So if you've got any questions that you want to get in, please ask now.
I mean, yes. I guess my first question would be pretty much for anybody. Who the hell are Cynthia Calvillo and Pro Gonzalez?
Right.
You guys say that, but hold on. I've got a little bit of context here, because I actually interviewed Cynthia before her debut. And I, you know me, Danny, I interview a lot of these regional fighters.
Cynthia Calvillo
is someone that the UFC is really high on. And I can tell you that just with the fact that they put her on this pay-per-view. You know, only one fighter, I think one other fighter in UFC history has been on back-to-back pay-per-views, and that was Tito Ortiz, actually. A little stat for you there. So Cynthia getting the nice treatment, and she's facing a newcomer in Pearl Gonzalez. Again, if you follow the regional scene, these two are very well known. Cynthia Calvillo training at Team Alpha Male, and Pearl Gonzalez, you know, training down there actually in California for this camp with the likes of Alima Leigh McFarlane and a few other notable fighters down there. So I think this is the UFC's way of trying to put a spotlight on the strawweight division and trying to find sort of the next big thing, because outside of, I mean, Joanna's just, you know, she's destroying all these opponents, and they're going to need someone in the come up. And I think this is a good catalyst as far as the fight goes for what could be the next strawweight superstar.
Yeah. And you know what, I say it half jokingly, but I mean, I learned my lesson. I think it was UFC 191, which would have been Dodson and Demetrius Johnson, and it was in Vegas, and a lot of us in the media were joking, but like, why were we even there? And you go back and look at that card now, and there's so many fighters who have just kind of emerged as real contenders and real threats. So, I mean, I question the UFC's matchmaking when I need to, but this probably isn't one of them. It's one of those ones where I'm going to be honest with you. I was kind of trying to make sure Proteus didn't ask me about it later on in the show, because I don't follow the regional, I don't follow the regional circuit that closely, and I really don't. I'm completely blind on that fight, so which is not a bad thing. Sometimes those are the ones that surprise you the most.
Well, like I said, my only guess as to why this is on the pay-per-view, because a lot of people are surprised to see, you know, a girl who's 1-0 in the UFC against a girl who's 0-0 in the UFC on a pay-per-view. But like I said, I think it's because they're really trying to, you know, rebuild that division. And we just saw today that they announced the next Ultimate Fighter is going to be 115-pound and 135-pound women. So I think Mick Maynard being there, I think they're really putting a focus on the women's division, and I think that's why you're seeing that. But, you know, do I agree with it? Not necessarily. I think there's a couple other fights that could have been on the pay-per-view, but hey, I don't do the matchmaking.
Yeah, we talked about this last night on the show, and the thing that made me go the most was that this fight was on the main event or on the main card. I thought the Chookagian fight would be a perfect fight to put in here, because you know what, both of these girls have, you know, photos on the UFC. They've both fought in the UFC. They both have records, 8-1 and 7-3 respectively. I just thought this fight here would be a better fight to put, you know, on in the third spot, in the third slot, as opposed to, you know, this fight that they put there. Anyways, I digress, because I'm not an executive in the UFC. I don't know how these things work, and I'm sure they're trying to push these girls, these 115-pound girls. And of course, guys, as you know, we like to cue the music on this show, so we know what's going on there with these girls and why they're there. So that's good for them, and I hope they get a good push, because they deserve it, because it's hard to get your name out there in the UFC right now, right, James? I mean, it's very, very hard for these fighters to get any recognition. So it's good that these girls are on the main card.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way you have to look at it. And again, if Cynthia Calvillo goes out there and gets another first-round finish, I mean, this is someone they can build on. And, you know, Pearl Gonzalez, you know, I was just looking at the numbers on my interview. I mean, she's obviously very attractive. I think the UFC kind of knows what they're doing there as well. So if she wins, you know, that'll be a nice someone as well they could push for that division. So, again, I think they're just putting focus on that. And this, you know, let's be honest, guys. This is a card that is, you know, getting the Canada treatment, so to speak. You look at, you know, UFC Dallas, they are stacking that card, and this is the card that was kind of left behind. But someone really important and smart actually wrote an article on this, how UFC 210 that is. Maybe you should have them on the show sometime. But yeah, it's funny just to see how this card sort of come up. And the result is, like I said, a strawweight fight on the pay-per-view.
Danny?
No, and I mean, I agree. And I also think that, like, it's worth noting that third slot on the main card isn't always the best place to be fighting, especially on a card like this that's so heavily built around two big fights. Because a lot of the time the crowd just wants to get that fight out of the way so they can get to the fights that they, you know, really paid the money to see. So, you know, it's good to, you know, push some young fighters in that position and debatably, you know, put other big fights that I think are bigger at this moment in time on Fight Pass. And, you know, I mean, it's so hard questioning why the UFC does some decisions, because I don't think that they're the geniuses some make them out to be, but they are playing the long game, and they're always playing the long game. And, you know, I think this is a perfectly respectable card top to bottom, with two great fights up top. And, you know, at the end of the day, people don't have to buy it if they don't want to. I know that's so cliche, but this is I'm still pumped to watch this card. I'm still paying for it. I'm not covering it. So I actually get to sit back and drink a few beers and watch fights for the first time in a really long time. So yeah, no complaints from me. That's all I got to say. But
yeah, no worries. And just so we're all clear, I mean, we're just gonna drop this right now, because we do appreciate all the ladies in that, not only the Chakilgian fight, but also in the third fight there with Pearl. And let's just drop this right now. All right, that's enough. That's enough. This is my show. We don't have to get into those things. Okay, guys.
I can't believe, trying to say, I cannot believe that the two of you are suggesting that a fighter's attractiveness might have anything to do with the push of the UFC. how dare you?
Wow, that's a good one. I appreciate that. That was good. I had a good laugh there. Oh, wow. Okay, so let's, Danny, I know that you didn't want to comment too much on this card, but let's just get into the co-main and the main event, because I think that these two fights are really the most pertinent fights that we need to talk about, because, guys, and we'll get into this later. I'm just going to put Danny in. Danny, I'm going to put you on mute for a second because you got some wind noise, but you're still there. I think that the two fights at the top of the card are very, very pertinent for the weight divisions that they're in, right, James? And it's about time. It's about time that we finally got some fights that mean something. You know what I mean? As a hardcore fan, I have been so sick of seeing, yo, I want to fight whomever for big money. Fuck off, man. I just want to see the sport. You know what I mean? I want to see the sport, and I want to see the sport move forward. And you know what? The sport is not moving forward, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. But let's talk about Weidman versus Musashi real quick, and we'll bring Danny back in, because maybe he's not so windy. And let's go, he is. Wow. Let's put him back on hold. Let's go with you, James. Let's talk about Weidman versus Musasi, and I know you got a lot of good sound bites today. So let's talk about this fight, because, and I don't want predictions or anything. I just want to talk about, because we had the pick show last night, I don't want to have a pick show again. I just want to talk about how in today's day and age, we're talking about a fight that actually matters and how excited I am about it. And maybe it was the break, James. Maybe it was a two-week break that we had from the UFC, but I'm very excited, not only for these two fights, but for the whole card. So let's just get you to comment basically on this fight real quick.
Yeah, and first off, the fighters agree with you. I think people are sick of talking about the politics of MMA. This is the best middleweight fight that is currently booked at the moment. And that includes the champion, Michael Bisping. I mean, you really, how often have we seen two guys in their prime, you know, facing each other like this? For me, and the other thing that's great about this fight is I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I do sort of have an idea of who I think might win, but even looking at the odds makers right now, they have this, you know, at -110 apiece. Musasi's got the stand-up experience. Weidman's got the wrestling. It's so interesting. You know, Musasi's on a winning streak, but he hasn't fought the, you know, type of guys that Weidman's fought. You know, Weidman's lost, but he's lost the two best guys in the division. There's so many good storylines. This to me is the main event, in my opinion, just for the fact that this is such a close fight. Not to take anything away from Cormier and Johnson, but me, this is my favorite fight on the card. And again, I don't know how it's going to go, honestly. Like, even when I make a pick, it's not 100% with 100% confidence.
They're so evenly matched. I mean, is Weidman going to take him down, or is he going to try to take him down? I mean, we've watched the embedded, and we don't know what's going to happen. But let's get Danny. Danny, we're going to bring you back in here and get you to comment on Chris Weidman versus Gegard Mousasi, because both of us are very excited about this fight. What about you?
I mean, I'm 100% with you on that. And, I mean, to kind of bring up, you know, my own angle, I can't believe Chris Weidman took this fight. I mean, the guy's coming off two losses against possibly, you know, as James said, the two most dangerous opponents he could have faced in the division. And, like, by all accounts, I mean, Chris Weidman's a star. He's a big name. He's a great fighter. And, like, he could have just taken a fight to get back on track. And instead, he went with one of the guys who's on the hottest of hot streaks, is incredibly dangerous. And Weidman, you know, if he wins this, he's right back in the title picture, probably. I mean, there's probably going to take a year and a half to get through all the other crap that has to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, credit to Weidman. I mean, we want to talk, we're also talking about the politics and the big money fights. And Chris Weidman just did the opposite by taking debatably the hardest fight that they could have offered him at that point. And, you know, Mousasi, there's been a lot of talk about how he's kind of come out of a shell in the last year and a half. I'm not going to say this is my main event because I love Cormier Johnson. I just think it's such an interesting fight. But it's fantastic. And, I have an idea of how I think it's going to go down, but I would not be surprised if it went down the complete opposite way. And what a co-main event. I mean, this is why anyone who criticizes anything else on this card, I mean, they're kind of crazy, because you're getting two elite fights, and this one in particular. I mean, Chris Weidman, you know, lost to Rockhold and then got hit by a rough knee, but, you know, things have gone slightly differently, could still be the champion, or at the very least could be next in line for the next title shot. So, you know, this is two elite guys, and in the middleweight division, just so much fun right now. It's exciting to think that we might actually get more matchups like this. Because we've got Jacare and Whitaker is booked, right?
Yeah. That's the next card, UFC and Fox 24.
That's another great one, right? I mean, you're just at the point where that division is so stacked up at the top that, you know, we're going to get a lot of really fun, interesting fights. And this is kind of the start of it, I think.
Yeah, and I just want to drop this real quick.
You right better here. Not boo me! F*** you!
Right. I think this is a great fight, guys. Honestly, two really, really talented fighters are going to go at it. One ex-champion. And James, you can speak to this. I mean, I've only seen it on the embedded, but Weidman looks, you know, pretty cut up, looking good, getting off the bus, you know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully he's committed to this and he wants to make another a stab at being in the champion, because he held that gold. And I just think it's a very interesting fight, and I'm so glad, as I said at the top of this, I'm so glad that we're getting a fight that means something. In this, I mean, what, we're in April, and we haven't seen any fights that have meant anything, because we lost the Khabib fight, just because you met Joey Diaz in the elevator. Khabib, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so this one here, because of the layoff, as we said earlier, because of the layoff, I think that that's actually helping 210. James, what's the word on the street? How is Buffalo, New York feeling to you? Because every time I see a shot from the embedded, they're in Niagara Falls. That's not anywhere close yeah. to Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I posted a video blog, like a media blog. I did kind of a behind-the-scenes thing, and it sort of shows you the crowd that was here today. It was a decent crowd, but it's not like anything groundbreaking. You know, there are people who obviously have, you know, come up from, you know, Canada or wherever else to watch this card. I think, you know, the only thing I can kind of base it off of is I was watching TV last night and I saw, you know, the local news is covering this like crazy. So I think they're trying to build this up. I don't know what the ticket sales are like. I don't know what the reception's going to be. Today was, you know, just sort of an average day. I mean, you know, it kind of reminded me of 206 in Toronto. It was a decent turnout. It wasn't anything to write home about. And, you know, obviously this is the first show since, I think, 1995. So, you know, it's good that they're coming back. But I don't know. I think this also speaks to the fact that this card is just not as stacked as other cards. And I think that you can't keep expecting people to pay this much. We talked about those first two fights. After that, yeah. really drops off a little bit. Let's be honest here.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really drop off, though. I mean, like, Alves Cote is a good fight. And, I mean, Brooks Oliveira is a very interesting fight. We talked about this last night, Danny. Let's bring you back in. Because, yeah, it does drop off a bit. But you know what? I think we're going to have to get used to that nowadays. And you're really going to have to really, you know, speak with your dollars, right, Danny? You're really going to have to buy the things that you want to buy. And I said this last night. I we'll get into it later because we're trying to talk about the Bellator pay-per-view because that thing drives me crazy. But, I mean, let's talk about it, Danny. I mean, would you buy this card? If you were the casual fan, which apparently everybody's trying to shoot for with pay-per-views, would you buy this card?
No, not if I was a casual fan. I mean, anytime you say right. casual fan, we're talking about a wide spectrum of people. And I mean, I actually do agree with James. Like, I mean, if we're going to talk about that casual fan, like, yes, this card drops off. And I mean, I probably had the best MMA interview I've ever had in my life with Patrick Cote a couple of weeks ago. I love the guy. He's a fun fighter. And, you know, so is Alves. And, you know, there are fights that I'm interested in, but I mean, I'm inside the bubble and all of us are. So, I mean, I'm going to buy this because in general, I'm going to buy UFC pay-per-views. But I mean, we can, when we talk about like, oh, does it drop off? I mean, we can contrast it with next month in Dallas and then, you know, right. the next week or the next month in Brazil. And then, you know, presumably 213 is going to be massive because that's how they do July cards. So, I mean, I don't know that every card has to sell, you know, let's say 500,000 pay-per-views. That's not what it's going to do. But let's be very clear. That is the model that the UFC is aiming for. And, you know, clearly just due to injuries or, you know, suspensions or whatever, they don't maybe have the guys at the top of the roster who they can fill out every card with five fights. But, like, that's what the UFC wants. The UFC wants the casual fan to, you know, eventually be buying every single card. And this is not one of them. So, I mean, I do think that – not that they deserve criticism because – their business and they can do what they want, but we're seeing more and more this propensity to stack one card and then the next two cards suffer. And I mean, I think that's what we're seeing right now, for sure. And I mean, I think that I don't want to get into politics ever, but I do think that they've had a pretty disappointing from a business perspective, I'm sure, but also just from a fans perspective and from an excitement perspective start to 2017. And I think that's contributing to this a little bit. I mean, we have seen an all-time epic Tony Ferguson Khabib Nurmagomedov fight a month ago, and then not, I don't care what Joe Rogan says, the most boring title fight I've seen in pretty much ever. You know, we might not be that worried about this. We might be saying, hey, they put together two great fights and three pretty interesting ones, and that's a pay-per-view that I'm willing to buy based on the goodwill that they've accrued, and that hasn't happened.
All right, so before we get into the pay-per-view conversation, let's just talk about the main event real quickly. Let's get it done here because I want to talk more about pay-per-view and how I think it's dead. But let's go ahead and talk about Daniel Cormier, Anthony Johnson. And James, let's throw it to you because you saw both of these guys today. You talked to both of these guys today. You got the behind the scenes. If anybody's looking for those interviews, check out at Lynch on Sports. He put the links out. You can see it there on Twitter. And if not, go to YouTube and search it, you lazy bastards. What do we think about Daniel Cormier versus Anthony Johnson? This is, of course, we've seen this before. It's a rematch. Did the boys look any different to you? Did they seem like they're any more focused, James? What's going on the streets?
I mean, you know, like I said yesterday, it looked like, you know, they had a tough weight cut, but talking to them today, they seem pretty good. I think that's sort of one of the topics of conversation. And the other one is really, you know, how is this fight going to unfold? Is Johnson going to be able to finally knock out Daniel Cormier in this fight? Is Cormier going to be able to survive and, you know, wear out Johnson? Has Johnson's cardio improved? There's a lot of questions in this fight. And again, you know, I was talking about how great the co-main event is. This is a really good fight. I'm quite, you know, happy to see this, you know, this fight actually take place. You know, I think, let's be honest here, though, you know, John Jones is here. They want, I mean, if they had it their way, if the UFC wants, you guys are talking about big fights. I think the fight that people really want to see is Anthony Rumble Johnson and John Jones. And I think secretly the UFC is hoping that's going to happen. Not to say that a third fight or a second fight with Cormier wouldn't do as well, but I just think stylistically, I mean, selling Rumble and Jones, that is a massive fight. And, you know, I asked both guys today, you know, what are their thoughts about Jones coming in the cage after? Because I love that stuff as a fan. Right. And Rumble was like, yeah, I'm all for it. I think that's great. It's a way to sell the fight. DC says John Jones does not belong in this cage. He is suspended. I will bleep and whatever. It was great. Cormier hates Jones. And I, you know, rightfully so with some of the stuff he's done outside the cage.
Danny, do you have any thoughts on this fight?
I mean, first of all, to respond to James's, you know, assertion that the UFC wants Anthony Johnson, it's too bad that there's no evidence, you know, like a poster that Anthony Johnson is prominently featured on and Daniel Cormier's. I'm a pretty big believer. I agree with James. I think it's what they want. And I think, I mean, I want both fights. Like, Cormier's a fighter that I think is just fascinating to watch and, you know, I think about the way he fought Gustafson, which was completely, you know, everyone thought he was just going to wrestle him and he didn't do it at all. I mean, I think Daniel, he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. And I think he's what he did to Anthony Johnson last time was fascinating and just showed how dominant he can be. So I really want to see, because I don't think Cormier has more than a year or two left. I'd like to see him fight Jones again when he's still, you know, on the tail end of his prime. I love this fight. I love the first fight. I was there for it. And it's there's cars driving by, so I'm trying to. I hope that the wind isn't getting in the way here.
I can't hear it.
I was there. I love that fight. I mean, I love, you know, the fact that Johnson did rock him. So we got to see, you know, both guys' strengths come out. It's the thing that's tough about this fight is that I do think it ultimately boils down to most of us expect, you know, it is the knockout power versus the, you know, grinding wrestler who is as dominant on the ground as anyone in the sport. I mean, I think that it's hard to come up with anything new to say about this fight. But that doesn't mean that I'm not super excited to see it. I love this fight. I love watching both guys, even if I don't necessarily want to go on record as saying that I love Anthony Johnson as a human being. But, you know, I'm really excited for it. I think it's a great main event. I thought it was a great main event for Toronto, and I certainly think it's a great main event for Buffalo. So, you know, and as everything you were saying, I mean, if we want real fights, and I want to see best versus best, this, based on who is, you know, available in the division, is the best versus the best. And personally, my only question, and maybe one of you guys can answer this, when Nick Diaz was suspended, he wasn't even allowed, like, you know, in the arena when his brother was fighting. Why would John Jones be allowed to come into the octagon at this point if he's suspended?
James?
Do you, like,
Well, we don't. That's the thing. We don't even know if he's actually going to come in the octagon. I just made that as a suggestion, just because I, you know, I'm an old school fan. I remember the days when, you know, they had Vanderlei Silva coming in there, trying to fight Chuck Liddell, and has that famous line where he wanted to have sexual relations with Chuck Liddell because his English was bad. But no, I think that I don't know if he'll be. It sounds like he probably won't be allowed in there. He's just here to do media. I know we get him tomorrow. Tomorrow evening for about an hour. So I'll be interested to see sort of what they're going to let him do and everything. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
For show.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So, look, guys, let's kind of bring this conversation into another topic that I was thinking about. And that's the staleness of all of the men's divisions. This fight here, Daniel Cormier versus Anthony Johnson, is really the only fight that really is intriguing moving forward in any of the divisions. I mean, we got Demetrius fighting the week after this, right? But no one really gives a shit because Demetrius is just dominant and he's the man, right? We don't expect him to lose. All of the men's divisions from heavyweight all the way down to 125, especially with Conor holding up, you know, the divisions. I mean, there's nothing really going on. And like I said at the top, these two fights, Cormier Johnson, Weidman Musasi, really mean something. But you know what, guys? We have not seen anything. Everything seems to be stagnant. Everything seems to be relying on this. Hey, we need to make money. We're so desperate to make money. We're going to take the biggest money fight we can get. And I hate to bring it up, guys, and let's not really talk about it, but you know, it's kind of a possibility that Conor is going to fight Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match because we all want to make money. And I digress. It's just driving me crazy. And Danny, let's start with you. What's going on in the UFC right now? Because all of the divisions, and I can't blame the Empire. I really can't blame the new ownership for this, because the Fertittas, let's be honest, the Fertittas had started this, you know, going for the money fights, you know, before they sold the company. So what the hell is happening in any of the divisions? I mean, the only thing that's exciting right now is the women's division, because both of the women's divisions, all three of the women's divisions, let's count 145 in there, because you know what? They're just getting started. They're just new, and we don't know what's going to happen. But every other division is kind of, you know, lackluster, Danny.
So, I mean, this is a really strange position for me to take, because I'm generally pretty critical of the UFC, but I don't feel that way. I think that,
wow.
I'm super psyched for I'm not the DJ fight. You know, I love DJ as much as the next guy, and there's all the normal caveats about how incredible he is, you know, technically and all that, but I'm with you on that one. I'm excited to watch it, but I understand why people don't care. I love the heavyweight division right now. You know, I don't think there's anyone more exciting in the entire sport, male, female, black, white, whatever you want to say, than Francis Ngannou. And I think that, you know, he's only, you know, one or two fights away. I love the heavyweight title fight in Dallas. You know, I really enjoyed Stipe and JDS's first fight. You know, middleweight is, you know, obviously the title picture is a little bit of a mess there, but, you know, we talked about Weidman and Musasi, and I mentioned Jacare and Whitaker. Those are two fights that, you know, I'm excited about as a fight fan. And I mean, the comparison here, and look, welterweight, the last fight sucked. At the same time, the first Woodley-Thompson fight was fucking amazing. So I do think that there's a lot of interest in there. I love the Aldo Holloway fight coming up. You know, there's a lot of fights personally that I think are really interesting. It's just, is there that excitement that we had with Conor and you know, with Ronda in particular? Like, no, there's not. And that sucks. And I don't know if it comes back or if we have to, you know, get used to slow and steady growth. But I started covering the sport in, I think, 2012. And people forget, 2012, 2013, that was dark. That, like, nobody, the UFC, like, you know, I remember people saying that it only had a couple years left. And then you got this injection of, you know, really charismatic stars. And maybe, you know, we don't quite have those active right now. But, you know, for me, I think that the quality of fighting has never been better. And, you know, there are a ton of guys who I'm excited about. And, you know, Francis Ngannou is right at the top of the list. I can't wait to watch how heavyweight plays out. And, you know, I'd include Derek Lewis in that too. But for me, I can't go with you on that one. I think that the only thing that's really missing is that marketing star power. And, you know, maybe these things are, there's peaks and valleys with these things. I don't know. But that's, you know, that's what I choose to believe as someone who ultimately, you know, has to try to make money covering the sport long term. So, you know, that's where I stand. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And James, I'm speaking to two journalists and I'm a fan. So let's get you to weigh in, please.
I have mixed reviews on this because I do agree with what Danny's saying and that there are some intriguing matchups that are coming up. I mean, just one that comes to mind is Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. I mean, you know, you do have fights like that that are not only meaningful to their divisions, but they're also exciting matchups. But on the flip side, I also have to agree that, you know, some of the matchmaking has been a bit questionable. I mean, you know, you talked about the welterweight title fight. Damian Maia was given a fight with Jorge Masvidal just before that fight. Like, that didn't make any sense. Like,
exactly.
Really, Maia should be fighting for the title. You know, I don't like that type of stuff. I don't like how all these champs all of a sudden are trying to be like Conor and get their own fights. And, you know, by the way, I'm not, you know, this whole, you know, Bisping and GSP thing, I don't really fault Bisping for that because it's St. Pierre who probably wants the fight. I think that was probably one of the things that was negotiated with him because, you know, it's a big money fight. Because really, the fight they should have done was Anderson and George, but I digress. You know, the thing is, there's fights like this that just, you know, you have to wonder where the matchmaking's at. And I think that's where it is getting suffered. And the star power, you know, Jones is, you know, suspended. Rousey's likely not coming back. McGregor wants the box. I mean, you're missing a huge gap there. You have St. Pierre coming back, but he can't even commit to a date right now. So right now you don't have any bona fide superstars that are currently scheduled for fights. And that is concerning, but, at the same time, there are some fights I'm looking forward to, you know, Jacare and Whitaker. You know, there's you know, Poirier. I mean, there's a lot of good fights that are, you know, in the works right now. And, you know, I'm going to be glass half full, glass half empty type person.
I finished fights!
Sorry, I just thought that would be a good thing to inject there. So let's transition. Okay, we were talking very heavily about the UFC, and we've got, you know, 20 minutes left in the show, so let's kind of transition to, you know, the news that has been very, very popular over the past 2 weeks since the UFC has been away, and that's Bellator, and kind of the moves that they're making, and announcing that they're going to, you know, be holding a pay-per-view. Not only a pay-per-view, guys, but a pay-per-view in Madison Square Garden in New York with a very, very high-paid group of fighters, Danny. And we're gonna go to you first here. What do you think about this Bellator pay-per-view? Because I'm not on board.
I understand the reasons why that's a transition that they ultimately want to make. I mean, there's so much money in pay-per-view. And, you know, again, I get sick of talking about money so much when I want to talk fights, but, you know, it's the reality. And they put together a card that I can talk myself into why they're going to do it. Do I care? No, I do not really care. I watched Fedor fight Fabio Maldonado or whatever. This is not a fighter who is in his prime. This is a guy who's retired 3 years. Matt Mitrione's a good fighter, but like, I wasn't dishing out $50 to watch Matt Mitrione fight when he was in the UFC. So I'm not just all of a sudden going to do it just because he went to Bellator. Although I really like the guy. I think he's a really smart human being, but I understand why they're doing it. I don't care about Chael. That fight doesn't really interest me. Up and down, I saw it, and it was one of those things where I totally get why they're doing it. I almost applaud them for doing it. But
why?
Because at some point, if I just understand why they want to be in the pay-per-view game, really is what it comes down to.
Right.
Because it's how combat sports work, whether it's boxing, whether it's whatever. I mean, that's how they make their money. And it always is. And I guess I just don't give Bellator very much credit in terms of being the, you know, the organization that's going to somehow find a new business model that's going to make it work. So I understand why they want to do that. Yeah, I mean, look, you hear it in my voice. You hear what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to talk myself into it, and I'm pretty much failing. I don't care about the top two fights, and those are supposedly the blockbusters. And if anyone can give me a reason to care, then I'll care, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a pay-per-view worthy card, just what we have on paper. And who's, is there even a guarantee that Sonnen and Silva even make it to the pay-per-view? I mean, there's that risk as well. First off, I think pay-per-view is a tough sell in any market these days, because, you know, you see things like WWE Network where you can get a monthly fee and it doesn't cost nearly as much as the, you know, price tag. I think the $50 that they're asking for this pay-per-view. I understand them booking this card, but I just don't think it's pay-per-view worthy. And come on, Michael Chandler's fighting Brent Primus. Does anyone know Brent Primus outside hardcore fans? No. And I even think hardcore fans have a hard time with that. And I'll tell you what, Bellator screwed this up. They shouldn't have given Josh Thompson Patricky Pitbull. They should have just given Thompson Michael Chandler. That would have had a lot more sizzle for that fight than Brent Primus. Not to say he hasn't earned it. He's got the undefeated record. But come on here. For a pay-per-view, nobody cares about Brent Primus. I promise you that. So there's that. And I think, you know, as far as Bellator and the way they match their fights, I think you have to go that route as far as getting these old-timers and everything else. It's so difficult to create stars. I mean, the UFC is even having that issue with some of the talented guys they have on their roster. So if they want to go the old man route, fine by me, because it's something different and it's something that will draw in a different caliber of fans. So that's sort of my thoughts on it. But as far as it being a pay-per-view, not even close. And again, like they're going to, you know, what's going to happen is all the cards after that are going to suffer because they're stacking this card. They just don't have a deep enough roster to do this type of matchmaking. And we're even seeing that coming up. This weekend, they got Manhoff fighting Carvalho in the main event. Nobody wants to see that fight. And the rest of the card's garbage because, they're stacking these cards and they can't make up for it. So that's all I got to say on that. Oh!
Oh! Yes, James Lynch spitting the truth. Yeah, guys, I'm just going to weigh in here real quick. Listen, I don't think that we need to see any Bellator pay-per-views ever. I don't think we need to see as many UFC pay-per-views as we're seeing. You know what I mean? I really don't. I don't think people have the amount of money to buy all of the pay-per-views. I mean, as a UFC fan, as an MMA fan, Danny, if you weren't a journalist and you got, you know, your employer to pay for the pay-per-views, how many of these pay-per-views do you think you would actually buy? You know what I mean? It's so hard on the regular fan. And this is the thing. I just don't understand this argument. We want to get the casual fan, but we want to charge them $50. We want to charge them $60 for HD. Are you fucking kidding me? In today's day and age, I think this pay-per-view model is dead. It's like when Napster came in to the industry, and the music industry couldn't figure out how to deal with Napster, and they said, oh, let's just ban them. You know what I mean? It just kind of feels like we're in that same kind of position, that everybody's trying to cling on to this pay-per-view model. Danny.
No, and I mean, I guess that I didn't fully articulate. I mean, I guess what I'm hesitant to do is condemn Bellator for doing a pay-per-view, and what we're talking about is the industry as a whole having too many pay-per-views. Bellator has every right to do a pay-per-view. Sure. I mean, I'm not going to fault them. Do I think there are too many pay-per-views? Yes. I mean, someone did a calculation the last time that the UFC raised its prices, where it was basically like, if you wanted to watch every single UFC fight in a given year, how much would you be spending? And not just pay-per-view, that's Fight Pass, everything. And it was something like three times the amount that, you know, MLB watching every game, whatever that one is, or the NFL, you know, those were all sort of in the like $400 to $500 range. And it was significantly more to watch every UFC fight. So, I mean, clearly it's a model that is asking a lot of its customers. And I can't get behind that. But at the same time, the UFC and Bellator having too many pay-per-views combined, and I'll say that. I can't necessarily say oh, well, the UFC should be able to have 12 a year, but Bellator shouldn't be able to have one. I mean, I like that. It's just, I can't get there. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. James?
Yeah, I think it's, I kind of, you know, see what Danny's saying here as far as, you know, what Bellator's doing and everything else. It's just,
sure.
We're in kind of a weird, the thing is, we're in a weird time with the sport as well. I just want to add that,
yeah,
because like we're seeing the way people are consuming content now is a lot different than what we've seen in the past. And, you know, on top of that, you have a sport in MMA that's kind of had peaks and valleys, you know, like I think a lot of us, especially up here in Canada, can agree, you know, the sport was a lot bigger a couple of years ago, especially when St. Pierre was the champion and everything. And, you know, it's the sport constantly goes through these peaks and valleys, and I think right now we're in kind of a weird spot where, you know, you've got Conor McGregor and you've got guys trying to do what he's doing and everything else. It's a bit confusing right now, so I'm not really sure what the future holds, because it's really ever changing, the sport, and you know, Bellator is proof of that, now doing a pay-per-view with Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva of all people.
There's a little snake in the grass right there.
If I can also
add, little boy,
if I can also add that, like, the entire industry will change whenever when this new TV deal is negotiated. I mean, if the UFC gets what it wants,
sure,
from whether it's Fox or ESPN, I mean, it's entirely going to change. I mean, particularly if it's on ESPN every weekend, which I don't think will happen. But, I mean, when we talk about it being in a period of transition, we're also in a period where they are ending one financial model and moving into an entirely new one, which doesn't really relate to the pay-per-view thing. But, yeah, it's absolutely in a moment of transition. That's all I was trying to say. Just add to
Danny. You just opened a can of worms, because I was trying to end the show in 10 minutes, but I think that we need to talk about this, because, you know, that what you're saying is very, very relevant. I mean, once that new whichever kind of TV contract the UFC gets, and of course we all assume, right, James, mm-hmm, that they're going to go with ESPN and get that – those big numbers, and of course everything's going to change again.
I don't think they're going to get ESPN. I'm sorry to jump in here. I think that they may get they may get a deal where it's, you know, Fox gets some and ESPN gets, you know, four a year, but the fact of the matter is, if they tried to go with ESPN is not giving up College Game Day. They are not, during college football season, giving up Saturday nights. The ratings don't even come close to comparing. So you know, I think that they might get a couple times a year on ESPN and then have a deal, you know, in terms of the coverage they get with SportsCenter, which is problematic in its own right. But I don't think that they're just going to get a deal where all of a sudden we're seeing once a month or more UFC broadcasts on ESPN. It's just, it doesn't make any sense for ESPN.
What the hell's going on out here?
James?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Danny. I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means.
Wow.
And, you know, they do have a good relationship with Fox. Yeah, no, I think it's something we got to wait and see. I think like Danny mentioned, the College Game Day numbers. I mean, that's hard to kind of go away from. And you know, I think, you know, what it really comes down to is, I think Fox and the UFC is it kind of just works. Fox isn't really doing anything notable, and kind of having the UFC is kind of their thing. It's not like ESPN needs the UFC. The UFC needs ESPN more than ESPN needs the UFC, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, that being said, they also definitely they definitely want to be on ESPN. I mean, we saw it with Embedded this week when James was saying, like, yeah, the UFC needs ESPN. Half of the second episode of Embedded, maybe it was the third, was just like a random walk through the ESPN studios where they said hi to Stephen A. Smith. You know, they are doing everything that they can to, you know, to cater to ESPN. I just can't see it happening the way that some people seem to think it could happen. But a quarterly event on ESPN, maybe that works. I don't know. But get the hell out of the way of football, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's hang on. Let's just drop this real quick. Right. Okay. So let's talk about Rampage to the UFC. Okay. And let's keep this quick, because I know you both are trying to get to other places, and I need to get some sleep, because I'm trying to pack to go to Buffalo tomorrow. You know, I mean, I got stuff to do too, so we're all in the same boat. But let's talk about what's going to happen with Rampage. Okay, James, let's start with you. So
well,
we hear that Rampage is – hang on one second. Yep. We hear that Rampage has done his contract and that he needs to go back to the UFC if he wants to fight again. And he says that, you know, he tells ESPN he's not interested. His greatest regret is actually getting into cage fighting. What say you? What's going on with Rampage?
You know, to be completely honest, I don't know exactly. I was reading something that said, I think he has to go back to the UFC for one fight, I think, or something. There's some weird thing in his contract. I mean, you know, Rampage, you know, I'll be honest, Rampage put up a better fight than I thought he would against King Mo, but I mean, the result was the same. And, you know, the fact that he came in so heavy just really sort of shows you his commitment to the sport these days. But, you know, it's not the worst thing for the UFC because they are letting light heavyweight fighters go left, right, and center. That division has a huge drop off, and it's something they've never addressed. I mean, they have Misha Cirkunov as sort of one of their few bright spots in that division, but really, I mean, they have really neglected that division, and now it's finally catching up to them. Because guess what? Daniel Cormier, John Jones, and Anthony Rumble Johnson can't just keep fighting each other to, you know, headline cards. They have to get some other guys in there. And, you know, having Rampage, I mean, I'd love to see if Misha can get by, the guy he's fighting, his name escapes me at the moment. But, you know, him fighting Rampage, I think, would be a nice one of those, like, legend fights that he could add on his resume, because Misha's just fought prospects. He needs to get a veteran in there. And I think Rampage would be a perfect, safe fight for him to propel him up the rankings or, you know, better yet, put Rampage against, I don't know, someone else, because Rampage is still a name. Let's be honest. People do tune into him, even though, you know, like I said, his career has kind of gone down the crapper.
Right. Danny?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% echo James' statements. I mean, the only thing I'd say is James said it. Like, I love the I don't love the Cirkunov fight. I think it's a fight that makes sense. But James even said it. He's like, it's a nice, easy fight for Cirkunov. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a guy who's well past his prime, who has loads of personality, and, you know, certainly can probably still sell some fights. But, I mean, none of us are going to fool ourselves into thinking that he's going to be beating certainly one of those sort of top four or top five. And at that point, I mean, you're bringing in a guy just to sell. And we've talked earlier in this podcast, and we've talked many times before about how we don't like that. So, I mean, my dream here would be the Rampage made enough money and decided that, you know, if his heart's not in it, he just walks away. And I want to see more fighters do that. My feeling is we're not going to get that. And if he's going to come back, then ultimately, yeah, I mean, I guess beat him to Cirkunov and, give that bump to the one guy who seems like they might be able to break into that. I'm going to say top four, not top three, because I think Gustafson's still right there. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the most I can hope for, which doesn't say much.
Okay, Danny, I'm going to finish with you because we need to get you both out of here. But I know you have a hot take on this subject that I'm going to bring up. Now, Danny, James had to go an extra day in Buffalo because the UFC changed the media day from Thursday to Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, James?
Yeah, that's right. And to be honest, they do sometimes they do have it on Wednesday, but I know that, like, for Toronto, for example, they had the actual media day on Thursday. It's kind of an iffy game, and I took a risk that ended up backfiring, so that's why I had to go in two hotels this trip. Kind of a funny story.
No. That's not what I was getting to. I heard on the Hawani show, I believe, that this is the kind of the way they want to go with the media day on Wednesdays. And Hawani did, I think it was Hawani, and excuse me if I'm wrong, but I believe Hawani did put this forward. And I want Danny to get his hot take in here because we have to have at least one hot take from Danny.
So this is pretty funny because like you're asking me like something that like I literally have the hottest take I've ever had. I like Ariel a lot. Ariel's good to me. There's a lot more to that story than Ariel suggesting it. I can tell you that. At 209, I went out with another, and I don't know if I should say his name, but one of the junkie reporters on the Tuesday night was told that we would not be having media scrums on the Wednesday at Open Workouts.
Yes,
and said
I remember
getting Megan Olivi questions. And I got pretty pissed with the UFC with that junkie reporter's backing and then tweeted it out and kind of got, you know, a bit of a talking to from UFC staff. But a number of us had a conversation with UFC staff and we're like, look, if it's just like a UFC employee and Megan, asking questions. Like, that's not why I'm here, you know? Like, I have real questions that I want to ask these guys, and I'm not going to come for open workouts if it's not, if I'm not going to get stories that, you know, I control and that I have to do journalism and that I have to ask tougher questions on. So we're just not going to come. And they admitted that they'd been thinking, because in New York they had done media day on a Wednesday, and every single one of us, and admittedly I have a company card here, so right, like I don't have to pay for stuff on my own or anything like that, but all of us said like absolutely, because when you get 9, 10, 12 interviews, you can spread those out over the week starting with Wednesday, and you know, you're just able to provide more content starting with the Wednesday, whereas if you don't get that opportunity on the Wednesday, and particularly if it's Megan Olivi asking questions, you don't really have much original content, even if it is a media scrum in a lot of ways, especially the Vegas one where there's 30 people. So so I'm going to, like, say that Hawani had a lot less to do with this, despite, you know, I know that he's
– yes.
I like the guy, so I don't want to say anything, but I know that he's apparently the, you know, go-to rep for media for and speaks for all of us all the time. But on this one, no, he didn't. I'm a huge fan of getting media to, you know, on Wednesday. I personally take a little bit of credit, and it was the first time I got a real talking to you from the UFC, and, you know, it was a little bit of a highlight of my professional career, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, I love it. Give me media days on Wednesday, open workouts Thursday.
Great.
It allows me to spread out my content. It allows me to get the questions that I want to ask of fighters that I don't want other media people getting. I get those answers on the Wednesday, and it's just easier for me to plan out my week in terms of coverage. So that, I don't know if that's that hot a take, but I'm kind of annoyed that one reporter is taking credit for something. It's something one media member should not be given credit when a lot of people put themselves out there and gotten a little bit of.
I agree. And I remember having you on the show and you saying, "Hey, I made them do that." And I remember. If anybody doesn't remember, go back to that episode on the show. Proteus' primetime show. That's right. We get the hot takes from Danny Austin.
I'm not saying it was just me, though. I want to be clear. I had a part to do with it, but there were a lot of media people
who had these discussions over. You know what I heard, Danny? I heard it was you. 100%.
You know what? Fuck it. It was Danny Austin. Danny Austin got the entire UFC to change the media policy. That's what happened.
All right.
Fuck you, Ariel.
All right. That's right. Fuck you, Ariel. All right, Danny, get out of here. You got a party to go to. Get out of here. I love you.
You know what else I got tonight? Here, I can drop this knowledge. Also, in 1 hour, there's a secret show in Calgary by Raekwon of the Wu-Tang Clan that I'm going to. So
what?
And I happen to have that slipped to me by someone at the bar. So I'm one of the few people who know that's actually happening. So I got a big night ahead of me.
All right,
but
brother.
When I'm back from Africa, I can't wait to talk again. James, see you soon, man. I love you. And same to you, Proteus, and we'll chat soon.
All right. Have a good night, brother, and stay safe, okay? Don't get malaria or anything, okay? Because
honestly,
like
I've got a shot. I'm pretty sure I'm immune to malaria. Just want to check
that. I hear that it causes some crazy dreams, so we'll be happy to hear about your dreams when they come through after you come back from Africa. Bye-bye.
I'm not getting malaria. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Danny. Have a good night. All right, so let's have you continue on, James, with what Danny said. And I agree, because Danny did. He was the first person that I heard mention it, that maybe this should happen on Wednesday and we should have the open workouts on Thursday, because that's something that the fighters are going to do anyway. So, and you just experienced it. So tell us honestly in a couple of minutes, because I know I have to let you go as well, because I'm keeping you too late right now. So please, quickly.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, the main thing there is it's spreading out the content a little bit more. The media day is good because, again, you get the one-on-ones, and on the Thursdays, you know, you get the open workouts and it's more of a scrum thing. And at least then you're getting all your questions asked, because the media day thing's a bit of a disaster, like I was telling you on Twitter, where it's like, you know, you have to wait in line for fighters and sometimes you don't get your content. And, you know, everyone's there to try and get good quotes. And if you're missing on stuff, if you're not timing things correctly, you know, it gets blasted in your face, basically. Like, you know, if I would have waited in line for DC yesterday, I wouldn't have got like four of my interviews. I know I wouldn't have, because I would have had to wait for everyone else to finish. So And by that time, you know, I'm in the fourth person in line. They're, you know, they've probably heard all the questions I already want to ask them. So you got to be strategic. And yeah, as someone who's been to a couple, you know, more than a couple events, I've been to, I forget how many, I think like 11 UFC events. You know, it's you learn these things as you go along.
Yeah, and I'm just a fan. I'm just a guy that's, you know, coming to this, and I don't get on the ground because they don't let me get in there yet, but maybe soon. But I just think it's interesting that the UFC should, you know, kind of tailor the media week to their fighters and kind of give them a little bit of an easier way of cutting weight, because on Thursday, you know, they do, you know, a little bit of an open workout, and that's it. They don't have to do anything else. I mean, they have to talk to you a little bit, right? Right, James? They still have to talk to you a little bit, but it's in and out, get a workout, and that's basically what it is. It's a workout, and then they can finish their cut. All right, James, let's get you out of here because I've kept you too long, and I'm sure that you have to go ahead and get some chicken wings in your body again tonight, because they looked very nice from last night. And let's just come clean here. You know, we're going to have lots of coverage coming forward, right, James? You're going to coverage coming forward from UFC 210. And of course, maybe we'll see your chicken wings from tonight as well, because I know you're not a huge food poster, but you're going to have wings again tonight, right? Because you're in Buffalo.
No, I'm not, actually. I hate to break it to your listeners. I know you set that up really nice too, and I wish I would have had like a good thing. But dude, I got to be honest. Where I'm located here at the Hilton, there is not a lot of stuff open that's in walking distance, and you know, it's pouring rain out there. So I actually ordered room service like a bit of an asshole, but you know, I had to get it just cause I've been busy working away, and you know, I'm trying to, you know, eat and everything else. So I had breakfast, and then I literally went to the open workouts, and then I came home and came back to the hotel, and I've just been editing all day, just trying to get all this footage done and everything else. And I'm almost done. So that's the good news, right? So, I had a steak wrap, which was delicious, with some asparagus. It was really good. They know how to do the dining here well at the Hilton.
Steak wrap with asparagus sounds fantastic. My mouth is actually watering right now, James. But listen, stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow. And very much for doing the show. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Anytime you want me on, have me on. I always enjoy coming on here. And it was good to talk to Danny, too. He's definitely missed out here. Not that much Canadian media out here. So me and my pal from TSN, Aaron Bronstedt, are hanging out. But that's about it. Fight Network's not even here. It's crazy.
Well, you know what? I mean, we're gonna kick up the media coverage starting tomorrow. Because you know what? Proteus is coming down to Buffalo.
Damn right.
That's right. He's going to get that Amp Radio love going on. Anyways, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate it. And we'll see you tomorrow, okay? Have a good night.
Awesome. Cheers.
All right, cheers. Well, you know what? Thank you, James Lynch. And again, follow James at Lynch Sports. Or sorry, Lynch on Sports. He's the man. You know what he's doing? He's doing interviews of everybody. If you're on the regional circuit, if you're a pro, you know what he did? He interviewed Anthony Smith at Lionheart Smith, and you can check that out on his personal YouTube site, or you can go to oddsbreaker.com and check it out there. It's all right there, and I appreciate him for taking on a friend of the show of, Anthony Smith. And of course, he's fighting next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. Okay, guys, listen, we are going to have some coverage, and we're going to have to play another song because I'm going to keep talking. But once this one's over, I'm going to keep talking. So well, we're going to have a bunch of coverage coming at you. Whether you follow myself, and you should, at PRODOS on Twitter, you should follow me because we're going to have a bunch of coverage. I'm going to Toronto. I'm going to Buffalo, and I'm going to try and get as much coverage as I can. I'm going to do as many videos as I can. I'm going to try and space it out, guys. I'm going to try and space it out between, you know, my Twitter feed. I'm going to try and get some Facebook Live videos. If you're not following me and if you don't know what my real name is, I'm sure you can figure it out. But we're going to get lots of content. AMP Radio is going to be on the scene. We're going to get, you know, to the Q&A. We're going to get to the weigh-ins. We're going to have all of that coverage. I know, James Lynch. I know, Danny. No. Pay attention to Proteus. You know why? Because he's going to have some video. And I would appreciate you guys all tuning in. You know what else I would appreciate? Is all of you rating and subscribing to AMP Radio. Just rate us. Tell us something. Because you know what? You've heard it. Yeah, I had to wait for the drop. You've heard it on other programs, but you know what? The algorithms that you know, iTunes uses and everything uses. Rate, subscribe, give us a little comment. If you want to tell us we suck, then you know what, man? We already know we suck. But give us a 5-star, because we love that even more. I'm just joking. We don't suck. We're good. Anyways, I've got lots of plans for this weekend, and hopefully, because it's snowing outside right now in my house, thank you very much, Brantford, Ontario, for having the snow. And I hope there's not a lake effect snow in Buffalo, because I really, really want to catch the Bisons game on Saturday. You know, minor league baseball is in full effect. Baseball season is ready to play. So I'm hoping there's no snow, because I don't want to sit in snow. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to the game anyways, because I've already got tickets. I've already committed to it. We're going to go. We're going to get lots of stuff for you guys. We're going to bring you into Buffalo, New York, and make you think that you are eating wings with us. I know that Lerone is coming down, and Ryan Moody is coming down. Like everybody's coming down. There's a couple of people. We're going to try and get as much content for you as we can. It's all up in the air right now, but listen, guys, we're going to do the best we can for you, because you know what? We're fans just like you. We're hardcores. We're junkies just like you. And we appreciate you all listening. And I appreciate you listening to my voice. Because you know what? I can't stand my voice. It's terrible. But I appreciate you all listening. Josh from Tiltonburg, I appreciate you. Chasm, I appreciate you. You guys are both, you know, right on, guys. You guys are just supporting all the way. And Chasm, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and I look forward to seeing anybody. Hey, if you see me in town, I'm going to have the AMP gear on. Sorry, I had to wait for the drop again. I'm going to have that AMP gear on. If you see me, please come up and say hello. Please. I appreciate you all. I don't mind. Come say hello. I'm going to have breakfast in the Carter Hotel on Saturday morning, and I'm going to do a Facebook Live. Y'all can tune in for that, because I'm hoping to get John Jones on that Facebook Live. So tune in. Hopefully. Because you know what, man? I don't have a lot of viewers or a lot of followers on my Facebook, but you know what? Maybe I'll just do it on Twitter, or maybe I'll do it on Periscope, because I have more followers on Twitter. And God, I would love to meet Joey Coco Diaz. Calabib, motherfuckers. Calabib.
Anyway, I digress. I got to get out of here. I got to go to bed. I got to start packing for Buffalo because I have not started doing that yet. And I have a job to do tomorrow. And then I got to head out. I got to head out to Buffalo. And I'm going to, you know what I'm going to try and do for you guys? I'm going to try and get a lot of video content. So follow me at PROADOS for the time being. I'm going to change that. But that's where I'm at right now. And follow me on Proteus. Follow us at Amp Radio. Follow I am DJ Tony. Follow us at Marco. I am Maldo Marco. Follow Pam at Pandora Box with a couple of X's at the end. You know what? All of these people that contribute to Amp Radio, we love you all. And you know what? You're probably not listening anymore because it's like fucking 5 minutes into the outro. So guess what, guys? I love you all. I thank you very much for listening. And keep your eyes tuned. Keep everything tuned to Proteus's Primetime, Proteus's Twitter, Amp Radio. I'm gonna try and post things everywhere. And Ryan Moody, we're gonna do a little. Hopefully, we're gonna do a little something with Ryan Moody on his channel because, you know, he's got something going over there. All right, guys, I've talked enough. I hope to see you this weekend. I hope you enjoy the content that I'm putting out because I'm going to work hard on it. So we'll see you soon. Love you all. And just like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.